What do you think?
I think we're dead meat. Real dead meat.
You're dead meat! Go ahead and laugh, you guys. If I ever find a little passes of business, you're dead meat.
Welcome to the Dead Meat Podcast. This is an extension of my horror channel on YouTube, Dead Meat. I'm James A. Janice.
I'm Chelsea Rebecca, and we're boyfriend and girlfriend, and we like to get scared together.
Yep, and today
we're
going over Maximum Overdrive, the only movie Stephen King has ever directed. He also wrote it, if you couldn't tell.
I can't form comprehensive thoughts right now.
Yeah, this is a fun one. This was released in 1986. Yep, 86. King was coked out of his mind during production.
I asked you during the movie if this was super coked up Stephen King.
I wasn't sure, but I read afterward that course it was. Of course
this is the most cocaine fueled movie I've ever seen.
It's pretty bad. King was, probably the 80s were probably his like reigning period of superstardom. They gave him a movie direct. So
when did he release it?
It was very late 80s.
Okay. So he would have already released Carrie.
Oh yeah. Carrie's first one. The Shining. Pet Sematary, I think.
Yeah.
So many books.
Salem's Lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The Stand, probably.
Yeah, so they gave him a movie. And this is what happened.
Stephen King has since fessed up to how big of a piece of shit this is. When asked what the worst adaptation of one of his stories is, he said it's this. Good on you, Stephen King.
It's so bad.
It's real bad.
It's such trash. I had a great time, but it's trash.
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Maximum Overdrive.
Oh, my God.
Which starts with a giant block of text.
No. This is the second movie we've watched where there's a text wall that I have to read before the movie starts.
Yep.
And the text wall explains that Earth is passing through the tail of a comet.
And it'll be there for 8 days.
Yep.
Yeah. And then we see some machines start messing around. A marquee says, "Fuck you."
Oh, and the ATM machine.
Calls Stephen King an asshole.
The ATM. Yeah, it says asshole. It reminded me of American Psycho.
Yeah, so there is Stephen King works in a little cameo. And
that's
He's there at the ATM getting called an asshole. He calls his wife over. That's his actual wife, Tabitha.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Aww.
They've been together forever, so that's cool.
Yeah.
That happens, and we're like, hey, what's going on? This is Wilmington, North Carolina, by the way. It doesn't take place in Maine because they need a place with more people for this to have any have any impact. Also, fun fact, this thing is fucking scored by AC/DC, dude.
Oh.
Who is, of course, Stephen King's favorite band. Of course they are.
So they wrote a title song for this?
Well, it's called Who Made Who.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not called Maximum Overdrive.
But then the rest of it is just AC/DC's greatest hits.
I think they had a few original songs that didn't make any big impact. But yeah, the album they released as the soundtrack to this movie mostly consisted of hits from their 1980 Back in Black album, which is one of the greatest selling albums of all
time. I was going to say, it's got to be top three?
Maybe. It's way up there. Because it has so many hits.
Because what? It's Eagles' greatest hits.
That's up there, yeah.
Thriller.
Mm-hmm.
That.
Shania's up there.
Is she really?
She's like in the top 10 for sure. I think she's the number one selling. Her album is the number one selling female artist.
Oh, wow.
And definitely number one selling Canadian artist.
Good for her. Good for Shania. Celine Dion, is it the number one selling Canadian artist?
Get out of here, Celine Dion. It's Shania.
Celine Dion did My Heart Will
it's
Go
Shania
On.
Town.
All right.
That song was on a soundtrack.
Our cat is tearing the apartment down. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Lucy's acting out because we're not paying attention to her. We're recording a podcast instead.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So the first big set piece we get of the machines going awry is the bridge that goes crazy.
This scene is the most fun in the movie, and that sucks. It's all downhill after this, I think.
Yeah, well, you can't go wrong when you have a truck full of watermelons.
Oh, yeah, of course.
There's just a bunch of vehicles on this bridge that starts to go up, and so the vehicles start sliding down the sides as they increase the angle.
Yeah, it's a bridge over a river, so it's a drawbridge, pretty much.
That's a drawbridge?
I don't know.
We don't know bridges.
So, but it starts, yeah, the middle part, it starts opening.
Mm-hmm. And the vehicles all start sliding back.
How to describe bridges and how they work.
And
there's a truck that falls into the water.
Oh, that was fun.
That was the
first of many vehicles that they destroyed
throughout
this movie. They wrecked
so many cars
fucked up so many vehicles.
Yeah. So
I kind of appreciate
there's a truck of watermelons, of course, that is up near the front, so it starts sliding backwards and there's watermelons everywhere.
Everywhere. There's the AC/DC van.
There's an AC/DC like roadie
van. I don't know.
Is it their roadies on the way to a show?
Oh. No, that's where the high guy is in there, who's like, is he like far out?
Yeah, he's far out, man.
Something like that. Marla Maples is there.
Marla Maples is in a car. She's blinking, you'll miss it, but she is in a tan colored car, I think, and she basically just gets wasted by a watermelon. I think it flies through the window.
I don't think that kills her.
Because
husband is getting out and he just plops into this pile of watermelons.
Brat fall into the giant pile of watermelons.
It's great. If you ever want to watch a guy just fall into a pile of watermelons, there you go.
Just watch this scene on YouTube. It's very funny.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, there's some other fun stuff later when the kid's riding his bike around.
Yeah.
But all the stuff at the gas station where the bulk of this movie takes place is, it's not, you know, whatever. It's this movie.
It's kind of a drag.
That's what this movie is. So we get to that gas station by means of Handy, the truck driver, who's played by the guy who plays Sergeant Burrell in The Wire, which is fun.
That made me very happy.
We didn't recognize him until we looked him up, but that's okay. Something Faison, his last name is. Frankie Faison, that's his name. And he's driving the Happy Toys truck with the big old Green Goblin on the front. This thing, no way is it street legal.
Yeah.
This is like a giant plastic shell that's just chilling on the grill of this truck.
Yeah.
I want it as a toy, though. I really want this truck.
I bet that exists.
Yeah, it does.
Or someone can make those custom on Etsy. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Someone can make that for you.
That's fun. For my new favorite movie, Maximum Overdrive. we meet the people who work here. Our main star is Emilio Estevez,
mm-hmm.
playing, was it Billy? It's hard to know because his boss, played by
Pat Hingle,
he calls everyone Bubba.
Yep.
And then we find out that his name is
Pat
Bubba.
Pat Hingle's name is Bubba.
So that's like me going around calling everyone Jimmy.
It's like George Foreman.
Yeah. Why is the guy named Bubba calling everyone Bubba?
I don't know.
And before we found out his name was Bubba, Emilio Estevez like throws the Bubba back in his face. So I thought it was like, you know, it'd be like if someone was like, always went around calling people like buddy, like, hey, you better do this, buddy.
But
and then Emilio Estevez throws it back like, no, you better do this, buddy.
Yeah.
But then the guy's name is Buddy. Like,
that's his name.
That's just his name.
Oh, Pat Hingle, if you're wondering maybe why you recognize him, he was Commissioner Gordon in the old Batman movies.
That's an upgrade from this, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
He's just playing this douchey. Stephen King's characters, also in his books, they're all the same character, first off, from book to book.
Sure,
but
yeah.
And
we love Stephen King,
oh,
by the
I
way.
Love
Don't get us
Stephen
wrong.
King.
We're fucking obsessed with Stephen King. He is probably the person that I would love to interview the most on this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
That would be just, yeah.
When I finish a book, it takes a lot of willpower to not start a new Stephen King book.
Yeah.
Or else I would just read Stephen King.
I finished reading it a couple months ago, and that book honestly was life-changing. I loved it so much.
Yeah.
So we make fun of him with love.
But his characters, lot of times you run into the same ignorant hick character.
Oh, boy.
And you kind of get that in both Pat Hingle and in the fucking salesman.
The Bible salesman.
You
know what, though? I changed my mind about that character a little ways through, because at first I was just so sick of it.
Yeah.
But then I thought he was so funny.
I don't know. I gotta tell you, I'm so glad that the traveling salesman
caricature
is, but just that character type, I'm so glad that's extinct. that there will not be any new movies, at least any that take place in modern day, where there's some fast talking traveling salesman who's like, here, how about this deal? Now, before you say anything, let me talk to you. Like, I don't like that character, that like swindling charlatan. I don't like him.
I always think of the Christmas tree salesman in A Christmas Story. Now, this here is a tree, and he's trying to sell them all these shitty Christmas trees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
fair.
You know, maybe if it's played really well, but none of the acting in this movie's good.
Oh my God. Maximum Overdrive. Pat Hingle's great.
I guess.
He's doing the thing.
He's doing his
thing. And man, but also this dialogue, it's Stephen King dialogue.
Dude, there are some choice
I wrote down, I don't give a ladybug. And whatever he says after that.
Robinson, get in here, boy.
I got eggs on.
I don't give a ladybug. I want you in here now.
And also, I think the waitress at this gas station diner.
June?
What?
Wanda June?
Wanda June says something to the effect of, I can't figure out pay turkey about this. Like,
what does that even mean?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'll put in the fucking clip.
What's the matter?
Well, this thing was working just fine a few minutes ago, and now I can't get pay turkey on it.
Stephen King creates his own slang.
He does.
And
no one says, I don't give a ladybug. I'm going to now, but.
Yeah, right? That's in our rotation now. The machines begin to, you know, continue to come alive and shit. And the first time we see it happen here is in the game room of this gas station. I can't believe this. Who would have guessed fucking Giancarlo Esposito.
Gus Fring. Fucking Gus Fring.
Fucking bugging out is hanging out in this arcade. And there's a Knight Rider pinball machine that breaks. And his very natural response to it is,
yo mama.
And he says it like, not like astonished, like, yo mama? Like, it's like he's pissed off at it.
Fuck you.
Like,
for
fuck
breaking.
You breaking pinball machine, yo mama.
Then he steals
Then the machines all go haywire and the quarters spit out. And so this guy just fills his pockets.
You know what? I would.
Yeah?
Yeah, if I'm in an arcade and, well, no, actually, no, I'm a really guilty person. I would go tell someone.
I didn't think you would.
Yeah.
I think
I just legitimately honestly tried to think about what I would do. No, I'd go find an authority figure, tell them.
High school me would have.
Yeah.
Post collegiate me would not.
I still got that Catholic guilt, man. Mm-hmm. Can't steal quarters.
Yeah, he just fills his pockets up with quarters and cigarettes. But then before he can make it out, he gets mesmerized by a Star Castle, an arcade game, which looks trippy as fuck. The shapes going all crazy.
The screen is just shapes and colors.
If I were on a substance and in that arcade, I would stare at that thing first.
It's like Baby Einstein. He's like a baby watching Baby Einstein.
Oh yeah, and then he dies.
Just colors.
We kill the black guy first.
Yeah,
for sure.
That happens.
Gotta do that.
That's the first on the Dead Meat podcast. Not gonna be the last.
Won't be the last. Also the gas pump hits a dude in the eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Duncan is a worker at the gas
and
station.
And this is still before they think anything's up. So they're like, what the hell happened to Duncan? He got diesel in his ass.
Oh, was that all?
Is that all? I'm sure that happens all the time.
Get back to your room with the very graphic pictures of naked ladies
on
the wall.
Oh, my God.
There's muff all over the place, dude.
Muff. Ooh.
That's how you would describe what that is.
It is. It's muff.
That's muff, man.
Ooh,
that's a muff wall.
Beaver. Cool. It's 80s.
And it comes back later, too.
Nasty. And it's not even because this was in style at the time, it's not the body hair. It's more like just how it is. It just looks so filthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We get a break from the gas station shit, and we go to Duncan's son. We don't really know that it's
his son.
Oh, we
don't find this out till end.
Yeah, but he's at like a little league practice.
Who's Duncan? Does he just work there?
He just works there.
Okay.
He gets fucking owned by
there's
a truck
a lot
a
of
bit.
Characters in this.
Yeah, there's a lot of kills. A lot of kills. It'd be a crazy kill count to do, but a doable one. This looks like kind of the perfect movie for a kill
you
count.
Should yeah that'd be a fun
I'll
one.
Definitely cover it at some point. But there's the little league game, and the fucking coach goes to a vending machine and just gets wrecked by these cans of soda coming out of the machine,
yep.
Hitting him in the crotch, just busting his dome open.
Yeah, I was just imagining all the kids seeing their coach getting knocked out and all these free cans of pop shooting out and them all being like, yay! But then all
at
the...
At first they kind of were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then they all start getting taken out by these cans of pop.
Yeah, I think the cans kill two of the kids.
There's definitely two kid bodies that we notice.
Yeah, but then a third kid is riding his bike, man, and fucking eats
fucking
shit on his bike.
Steamroller and then out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah, yeah. Where was that steamroller?
Steamroller out of nothing. Just fucking mows down this fence.
It mows down the fence and then it mows down the kid.
It flattens a kid. You see this kid just get pancaked.
Oh,
it's
great. It's so great.
Because
you don't expect to watch a kid get fucking run over by a steamroller.
No, I thought it was gonna be, okay, all these kids get taken out by this pop machine, except one, and he gets away. But no. Steamroller sequence also.
Yeah. But Deke, the name of Duncan's kid, does get away.
Deke.
Duncan and Deke. Yeah. And later on, he's riding his bike down the street, and like the sprinklers are going off, which really made me question the logic.
I agree. They should have. It's a cool shot.
Yeah.
To have all the sprinklers going off, which is why I think they did it.
And the sequence of him riding his bike around, seeing all this shit, is one of the most fun parts of the movie. Because there's a lot of variation.
But I'm just saying, if this movie came out now, there'd be so many videos talking about how the universe or logic or continuity of the machines doesn't make any fucking sense.
Well, it definitely doesn't.
It doesn't, but...
Because here are some of the things that are affected by this this comet dust, I guess, and are coming alive. Okay, clocks, radios, trucks, obviously, electric knives, sprinklers, but not bikes.
Not bikes. They don't have...
I guess they're simple machines.
Yeah, they don't have an engine.
But neither do sprinklers.
Well, it's... Oh.
Yeah.
That's just water.
Not cars either, apparently.
That is a big...
Because later on, is it Yardley or Yardley? How do you say that?
We should have looked at...
I'm just going to say Yardley Smith. Her and her new husband are driving around in a car, and their car never betrays them.
I'm trying to think back if there's any cars that...
There are no cars. I was looking for it. There are no cars that we see that are like...
Makes no sense.
And later on, near the end of the movie, we even see a truck crush a car.
Yeah, a few times. It goes back and forth over a car.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like out of impotent rage or something.
Yeah.
So, but planes are affected. Yeah.
All right, whatever.
I don't know. But yeah, the baseball kit. So yeah, the sprinklers... It doesn't make any sense to me, but he does get to see a lot of dead bodies, which is fun.
You should tweet at Stephen King and ask.
Why sprinklers?
One. Two, why not cars?
Yeah. Maybe they're like, you know, I could see in Stephen King's coked up brain, him being like, well, the cars, they are affected, but the cars are more nurturing and they're on
they're,
the human
yeah,
side.
They...
So they'll help you get to it.
Yeah. Cars are the backbone of America.
Yeah. Also, this scene when he's riding his bike down the street was when I realized that AC/DC literally scored this thing. Like, it's not just their songs plopped in. Like, this is incidental music that is timed to the cuts of the film and the visuals of the movie. Like, I don't know who did it. Angus Young? I don't know. Just sat there. It's hilarious. Just imagine them sitting in a studio scoring this movie with their fucking metal guitars. It's great. Yeah.
I wonder how much behind the scenes material exists from this.
I don't know, but I would watch it all.
I would too.
Yeah. Deke sees a ice cream truck. Might test.
See, but the ice cream truck.
Yeah.
Is.
It's a truck. It's right there in the name.
Oh.
It's not an ice cream car. That'd be creepy. pop the trunk to your ice cream car.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
I know it's just a coupe.
I was just thinking it's closer in size to a car rather than a semi truck. But you're right. It's an ice cream truck.
It's an ice
cream
truck.
But then a pickup truck should.
I don't know if we've seen any pickup trucks in this movie. That might we might have to wait for a sequel for that.
I'm just thinking about ice cream car. Don't go to the ice cream car. It's not licensed.
If your ice cream man can't afford a truck, just
he's
you
not
know.
An ice cream man.
Yeah,
he's not a real ice cream man.
How many fucking ice cream men are we going to be dealing with in these movies? Like,
oh my god, you're right.
Yeah, right.
Because we just recorded Phantasm. That's got an ice cream man. And Reggie the Ice Cream Man was also in Wishmaster.
Oh God, it's all connected.
There's an ice cream truck in this. I'm assuming we're gonna do
Ice Cream Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing that gets Deke the hell out of there is a lawnmower, which we learned resulted in a very tragic thing.
I kind of wish I didn't learn this fact. Cause it made me sad. You know, it's so apparently while they were filming, Stephen King and a lot of other crew, it sounds like, overlooked some safety measures, as tends to happen on film sets.
Especially with inexperienced directors.
Especially back in the 80s before there were more laws about this kind of thing. And I guess the lawnmower hit a block of wood that was supporting something.
Yeah.
And it mowed the block of wood into a bunch of splinters and caused the director of photography,
Armando Nannuzzi. Yeah. He's an Italian DP who had worked since the
40s. I was looking at his IMDb, man. I mean, we're talking classic Italian films.
Yeah.
And
like hundreds of movies.
He lost an eye. Making fucking Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah. Yeah, he lost a fucking eye. The director of photography lost an eye. He sued Stephen King and 17 other people. He sued them for $18 million in damages, but it was settled out of court, so who knows what happened.
Who knows, man.
But,
That sucks. That sucks. Everything about that makes me really sad and uncomfortable. Because I love Stephen King. I can totally imagine him, you know, younger Stephen King. He's making his first movie. He doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. Maybe he's a little headstrong.
Maybe he's a little head high.
And high. But I mean, who knows? I don't know him. Who fucking knows? I, at the time of this recording, believe he's probably a good dude.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Man, you just never know anymore.
You never know, dude. But yeah, so there's your fun fact about the lawnmower scene.
Yeah.
If you want that. We'll come back to Deke later, but he was just running around. That was a fun little thing. We meet our lead female character.
Named Britt.
Britt. It's Brett. She's a hitchhiker in a car, apparently, and she's driving with this Bible salesman dude
that we were talking
earlier.
About earlier.
And he is just fucking sleazy, slimy, hands all over her, drinking a flask while he's like reclined in his driver's chair. I don't even know how he sees out the windshield because he's so far back in that driver's seat.
I was wondering how, when this filming took place in relation to drunk driving laws.
Oh.
Because those were, I think that's kind of an 80s thing. You got Mothers Against Drunk Driving. That's super 80s.
Is it 80s or early 90s?
I think, that's a good question.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, but I just think public perception of drinking while driving was so different around that time.
Yeah, because this dude, he literally pulls a flask out while driving and takes a swig. But, you know, King's characters, that's what they'll do, especially this yokel. Who is very palsy again on Brett. It's real gross.
It's weird. He's sliding his hand
at least she's all
down.
Like fuck off.
Yeah,
like,
as Stephen King
strongly.
Ladies tend to be, I think.
Yeah, they're no nonsense.
They're scrappy,
put up with that shit. Yeah, and Brett's scrappy for sure.
Yeah,
even though she falls for Emilio Estevez, but you know what? Whatever.
I mean,
he's the best guy at that place.
When the world essentially becomes just that gas station, who are you gonna pick?
I guess
Emilio Estevez.
Yeah. He's got nice eyes.
Yeah, he has nice eyes.
And then the last couple characters we need to meet and get in here are Kurt and Connie. Again,
Kurt
mentioned
and Connie. Curtis.
Holy shit. Yeardley Smith is playing Connie, This is 1986. This is 1 year before she tried out for the voice of Lisa Simpson. I don't even know if her name was Lisa Simpson on the
shorts, the Tracy Ullman show.
They were short
cartoons on the Tracy Ullman show.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So she in this movie is 23.
Yeah.
I think so. So the thing is, I can only handle this character because it's Lisa Simpson.
That's the only reason. This is one of the worst characters. All she does is scream.
And she commits.
Yeah.
Curtis!
Oh my God. And then it's just her whole character thing.
She's a nag.
And she's like, just the have her keep like talking repeatedly.
For comedic effect.
Quickly and for, I'm doing finger quotes, comedic effect.
Yeah.
Like the car flips over and she's like, Curtis, you gotta get me out of this seatbelt. I'm trapped in this seatbelt. Where are you going? Get out of the car. Come around. It's just that.
Yeah.
And she's yelling, and again, yeah, you're right. The only reason I wasn't like...
It's because it's Lisa Simpson's
it's
voice.
It's Lisa Simpson, so it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But, oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, we were talking just about how crazy it is if you think about how, like...
Yeah.
The Yeardley Smith you're watching in Maximum Overdrive has no fucking idea that the next year she's going to get a role that'll be her life. I bet she was so excited to get this role in Maximum Overdrive. You know, that Stephen King, that hot Stephen King, he's got all these books and movies out.
Mm-hmm.
He's making his own movie. I'm going to be this funny role.
Height of my career. Maximum Overdrive. Yeah.
Oh, Yeardley, you just wait a year. Oh, man.
Yeardley.
Yeah, just wait a Yeardley. But yeah, she's Connie. Her husband's Kurt. He's a nice guy. He's a nice boy.
Curtis,
yep. And they find a dead body at one gas station, and so they go to the gas station. And do we have all our fucking characters there
yet? I think so.
Yet?
There's a lot. It's very reminiscent of The Mist.
Yeah.
It's
another Stephen King story.
Pretty large cast of characters that are all stuck in one spot.
Yeah,
together.
And they're stuck there because all the trucks have come to life and are circling this
convoy.
What?
You know a convoy?
No, what's that?
We got a little convoy. Ain't she a beautiful sight? I'm playing it over this audio right now.
Okay. Oh yeah, that's great.
It's a very good song about trucks.
Oh, okay.
From the 70s.
Yeah. Well, the trucks are like, that's this movie.
Yep.
It's these trucks trapping these people in this gas station. That's what we get. So hope you're interested in that.
Yeah. I wonder if the trucks are rebelling because the 70s were trucker culture and trucking was a whole thing. Like, trucking was cool in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's some post-70s depression from the trucks.
Yeah, trucking lost its style in the Reagan era.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bummer. These trucks drive circles around this gas station so much.
Here's
this movie caused global warming.
Yeah.
Like, these trucks.
If
just
you
go
look
round
on when Al Gore during An Inconvenient Truth is on that fucking cherry picker in front of the screen, he's got his little chart. There's a spike on that chart. It's Maximum Overdrive.
It's fucking Maximum Overdrive, dude. Between the semi-trucks and the bazookas that get fired. Like,
and they explode so many cars.
This has got to be at least two Gulf Wars worth of emissions.
But, So before we watch this, my idea of Maximum Overdrive was just trucks launching themselves at each other.
I don't know.
Because that's more fun.
No.
It's better to watch.
No. Because you get trucks fighting each other. You don't get shit like Duncan getting plowed over by
a
truck.
I know. It's a lot of fun.
Or a kid getting flattened by a steamroller.
I don't know what I was imagining. Maybe truck races. Like,
what?
I don't know. But what I got was trucks driving kind of slow in a circle around a gas station for an hour.
Yeah. But you also got choice dialogue, like,
I think I just loaded my pants.
Curtis.
Thanks, Curtis. Yeah, that happens when this truck with a crazy frog decal is chasing after him, but then he jukes it off the road, and then this truck flies off the shoulder of the road and is already on fire.
Yeah.
It's already on fire from below.
You see the truck start to go off the road, and then you cut to seeing the front of the truck starting to fly off the side of the road. And yeah, it's just on fire already.
Fuck it. Blow up that truck.
Yeah.
We're going to do it a lot, man.
Yeah.
We're going to fucking blow up so many trucks, especially because after Kurt and Connie get there, that's when the rocket launcher comes out.
Oh, yeah.
Because Bubba's got a fucking rocket launcher.
Bubba.
And he blows up two more trucks.
And that thing comes out of nowhere.
Yeah. You're just watching these characters like try to get Kurt and Connie safely into the gas station. And then out steps Bubba with a giant fucking, I think it's a LAN rocket launcher.
Did you look that up?
I saw it in the description of the Wikipedia for this movie strangely gets very specific when it comes to the trucks and weaponry that is described.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, but I did recognize all these names from playing war games, like first-person shooters, and the LAN rocket launcher, I think, was in Battlefield Vietnam.
Probably. I don't know, just anything that is a long kind of tube that just resembles a potato.
Just a bazooka?
A potato launcher.
Yeah.
Just, it's a bazooka
okay.
to me.
Sure, yeah, yeah. So with this bazooka, they take out two trucks. And
then
Emilio Estevez wonders if there's more of those of that weaponry. So he goes and talks to Bubba's like right hand man, Joey, while Joey is taking a fucking deuce.
Oh,
he's sitting there on the toilet.
This made me
taking a shit.
Yeah.
Sound effects aplenty.
There's a few farts.
Joey?
Yeah.
Bill here. Tell me, man, does he really got a lot of firepower down the cellar?
Well, you heard him tell me to shut up, didn't you?
Oh, come on, Joey, this is serious.
He's got a lot.
Grenades?
Well,
what else? Flamethrowers? Rifles? What?
Which are included in the captions, too. We watched this on HBO Go, by the way. If you have
HBO
Go.
Yes, it's on HBO Go.
So go watch it there.
Yeah. There's like some kind of wet poops.
A lot of wet poops, dude. And
I just wonder if that was even in the script.
Because the actor's not making any fart faces.
No.
He's just carrying on this conversation as though he's sitting there quietly on the toilet.
Yeah.
But then underneath him, you get all these sound effects just like.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's got some grenades. And then Emilio Estevez like pops his head over the stall to look at him just in case he didn't get that, you know, that primo shit smell enough. Yeah. So
Stephen King likes farts in his.
Oh, God. Dreamcatcher.
Dreamcatcher.
So
check it out.
Emilio Estevez and Britt go into the basement where all these weapons are. And Bubba comes downstairs and is like, isn't this cute? Just doing his whole fucking shtick.
Yep. Chomping that cigar.
Oh, yeah. And the best is when Bubba's like, I'm warning you. And Emilio Estevez is like, no, I'm warning you. And then takes like 60 seconds to grab an assault rifle off the shelf and point it at Bubba. It's like the slowest, most ungraceful arming of yourself I've ever seen.
Yeah. And then Bubba reveals that Emilio is on probation.
Oh, that's right.
Because Emilio robbed a store.
Oh, no.
He robbed a store with a gun.
Yeah.
He didn't hurt anyone.
We're not condoning armed robbery.
No, don't.
He does make it sound like Emilio Estevez is like a fucking murder rapist.
He killed a guy.
Yeah. Because he says that to Brett, as in a like,
yeah.
Best watch who you're hanging with.
He's a criminal.
Yeah. And earlier he was using that because Emilio Estevez is on probation working here. And then fucking Bubba's engaging in wage theft.
Yes.
He's like,
all
gonna,
of his employees, it looks like, are people on probation.
Yeah. You're going to work 9 hours. I'll pay you for 8.
Hey, man, that happens.
That happens, man.
Yeah.
Yo, if that happens, I mean, I'd say do something about it. You probably can't. You're probably as powerless
do
as
something
Emilio
about
Estevez.
It.
Yeah.
Don't, power to the people.
Power to the people. Brett don't care, though, because she fucks him.
I mean, oh, and we get one of my favorite lines.
Yeah, I bet it's the same one I wrote. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
You sure make love like a hero. Wait, what did she say before that? She says, you may not be a hero, but you sure make love like a hero.
Something like that. I feel like at this point in the movie, the dialogue just like takes a steep drop, or maybe there's just more dialogue now. Cause it's the point of the movie where like they're hunkered in.
Second act problems. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like overnight. The trucks are still outside. They're just trying to like live.
Yeah.
Don't forget that at night, the fucking sky is this nasty green.
It turns green.
That's just like a awful special effect.
It looks like...
it looks unfinished.
Yes, it looks doesn't even like a stand-in effect that you have in when the director comes in to look at a cut. And you're like, this is just this is a placeholder.
It's a temp effect, yeah.
But no,
sure.
It's the finished effect in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of an Asylum movie.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah.
And Britt... she's smart enough to know like, oh, we're in the tail of the comet. Maybe that's what's going on here. Then they eat cupcakes together while some like bluesy guitar plays. This is all during that same
night. It's so weird. This night, everyone gets weird at night.
Yeah.
There is. So Connie and Curtis are sitting at a booth and are, I can't tell who's giving hand stuff.
Oh, it's definitely Curtis who is finger banging Connie.
Yeah.
Cause she is sitting there giggling her ass off.
He doesn't look happy about it though. It's weird.
He looks dutiful. It's his husband. I mean, they're on their honeymoon technically, I guess.
Ugh.
But yeah, they're sitting in a booth and she's just like laughing her Lisa Simpson laugh. Her brains out.
Oh no, I didn't even think of that. It's just like,
yeah, you're watching.
No,
no, I'm not even gonna say it. That's gross.
It's wrong.
That's gross. But it happened.
It did.
And then another guy is sitting there. He's like, I like spoons.
Oh my God. Yeah. Why does he say that?
I don't know.
This dude, they kind of are panning around.
Just checking in on all the characters.
They're panning around the diner and you just hear a guy go,
I like spoons.
Thanks, guy. Wanda June starts to go nuts. Earlier, she was cut by an electric knife. Which was a fun scene.
And she starts screaming at the trucks.
We made you.
We made you.
You can't do this.
And her body,
it is jerking.
Her physical acting is nuts. It's out of control. This is when I regret that this is audio only because I can't explain what's happening.
Yeah. I guess this is around when they hear the salesman screaming because I guess he's still alive. Earlier, he was hit by a truck and thrown into a ditch.
Yeah.
He was knocked out of his shoes.
I'm just now realizing there's not really a point for this salesman to be alive other than it's an excuse to get them across the street to realize that Deke is there, I think.
Yeah, because Deke has been making his way on his bike to this gas station.
Yeah.
And so salesman...
By the way, the Bible salesman, this is what changed my mind about him because he has a great, great delivery of a couple lines when he, I think his car is getting fucked up.
Yeah, his new car.
This is earlier. This is like
wrecked.
Near the beginning. So he is trying to sell Bibles to Wanda June and some other dude. And he realizes his car is getting wrecked. So he stands up and he drops immediately his whole act. And he goes, son of a bitch. And Wanda June stands up and he pushes her. He's like, get out of my way, bitch.
Yeah, he's like, get out of my way, bitch. It's like sound like Dave Chappelle.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
I just thought that was a good moment.
That was a good moment.
Anyway, back to present day.
He's
laying in a ditch.
He's in much worse condition. And so they make a plan to go out and get him. There is a line that like, I'm like, oh, that's a decent line. Because Curtis is going with Emilio Estevez to go save this guy. And Connie tells him, don't make me a widow on my wedding day.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, hey, there you go, Stephen King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because in that moment, I was like, okay, sure.
Sure, man. But then, of course, soon after that, we get Emilio Estevez calling, Bubba, you're one of the biggest fuckheads I know.
Yeah. Good one.
Yeah. Those About to Rock is playing during this thing. Like, you get some prime AC/DC songs.
It's what? You get that, Hell's Bells, Shook Me All Night Long is over the credits.
Okay.
I can't remember what else is.
But yeah, it's kind of a weird
but
place to play
it. It's them crawling through poop water.
Mm-hmm.
It's Curtis and Emilio crawling through shit water.
And this is also the best acting in the movie, I think, which leads me to believe that maybe these guys got along really well in real life. Because they're, like, crawling through and just, like, kind of joking around.
Yeah.
And
this is a scene that weirdly worked because the way that they're joking around with each other is very much, to me, reminiscent of how people act when they're scared as they, you know, you make jokes and there's nervous energy and you're trying to act like everything's cool and you just, I don't know, you almost get zen.
Yeah. It was the most natural acting in the movie was this scene.
Yeah.
They get out there and
Emilio swallows poop water on accident. It's good.
Deke finds the salesman. Salesman like grabs him and yells at him. Salesman winds up dead, I guess, off screen.
I was expecting the salesman to be a weird zombie, like somehow the aliens.
He looks gross.
Yeah, he's all weird. Yeah. He's all swampy looking and he's like, get me out of here or I'll kill
you. Yeah, it's like, what are you gonna do? All your bones are broken. Fuck off.
Yeah.
So he just dies, I guess. It was really just an excuse to get Deke with Emilio Estevez and get them back to the gas station where another bazooka is fired. And
is this before or after Bubba straight up just tells with no sense of ceremony at all that Deke, oh yeah, your dad totally got hammered by a steamroller.
Yeah, tough luck, kid.
Yeah, or a truck, not a steamroller.
Yeah. Oh, I wish.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Deke finds out his dad is dead. Womp womp. Sucks.
Deke's
man.
A good actor.
Yeah, Deke's not bad for a kid actor.
Yeah.
He's definitely, he's just that Stephen King young boy character. He's profane. Yeah.
Plays baseball,
rides his bike, swears.
You did bring up that in Stephen King stuff, there's always baseball. And yeah, I'm remembering just now that there's a ton of baseball shit in it. That
is there? I wasn't
in the movie.
Sure about
yeah,
it.
There is.
Yeah. Yep. With the book that long, there has to be because he loves baseball.
He finds a way to put
there's
baseball.
There's always
in.
Baseball, yeah, for sure.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Is there baseball in Carrie?
I can't recall.
Do they play?
Probably a little bit somewhere, like on the news or some shit. Yeah. Britt gets called a road twitch.
Yeah. What is that?
I don't know, but I hope it's
road
real.
Road twitch.
It's used twice.
Yeah.
So it's not just a throwaway. Oh, then the problem vehicles show up. You get a bulldozer and a Jeep, an army Jeep with a mounted machine gun on it. And they show up, and this is when that dude busts in the room is like, what the fuck's going on here? In an expert delivery.
Yep.
What the fuck?
And even though Bubba's able to land a bazooka shot on that bulldozer... because that bulldozer can fucking wreck that building for sure. The Jeep shoots him and a couple of others and kills them. So Bubba's dead.
Mm-hmm.
It even gets Wanda June. She goes out there with
Wanda
a gun
June.
With a bazooka.
She goes out there and just takes it like a champ. She's dead.
Yeah.
But she kind of has her final say.
And it's, again, we made you.
Yep.
She can't get over that fact.
Nope.
Yeah. And then that gun just holds him for a while until it starts doing Morse code with its horn and telling the and of course, good thing Deke just got his merit badge in Morse code, his Morse code merit badge. So he's able to transcribe what the Jeep is saying.
Yeah.
And it says, fuel us. We won't kill you if you give us gas because they need gas.
Yeah. Run. But then it says if they don't give them gas, they'll kill them.
Yeah.
So,
and then this is this the best line of the movie though? Is when Emilio Estevez says, "Okay, mm-hmm. I'll go gas them," and Brett, who is a woman who was earlier this movie hitchhiking down to Florida.
Yeah,
I don't know if that informs whether or not she should be able to say that. I found it interesting. She says, "You can't do that. It's like Neville Chamberlain giving in to the Nazis."
Yeah. That comes off to me as Stephen King thought of that.
Yeah.
And wanted someone to say it, and it made sense for her to say it in that moment.
Yeah, he couldn't.
But
he couldn't toss that line out.
I thought you were going to say the best line is Emilio about to go outside to give them gas, and he says, I hope they brought their American Express cards.
Oh, fuck, that's right.
Good one.
Oh.
Good one,
what
Emilio.
A bad joke and a bad delivery.
Yep.
Yeah. So they just fucking pump up
gas.
They just pump gas for like
montage.
10 minutes. Yeah, it's a montage with AC/DC with Hell's Bells playing.
It's just pumping gas into trucks.
I do remember, I read the short story that this is based on by Stephen King in his book Night Shift. I do remember that part of the story is like this exhausting marathon fueling thing where trucks just keep showing up to get fueled. And that's what happens here. You see like this long line of trucks down the hallway and down the highway, not hallway. And it, you know, that's a cool thing, I guess. Like these humans are being slaves to fueling up the trucks.
Yeah.
I guess
the idea that they don't understand what it means to be tired.
Yeah.
Because they're machines.
That line was definitely like a line that revealed the Stephen King theme.
Yes.
To
this part of the movie is when we start getting, and when I started understanding, okay, this is what makes this a Stephen King story.
Yeah, because there's that where he's like, they don't understand what it's like to be tired, how a man gets tired.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I'm assuming you're about to say.
Yeah. The Emilio's really cool monologue about aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, it's a broom. We're in the comet dust.
When he first said it's a broom, I thought he was going to go broom, broom.
What?
I thought he was going to say it's a vroom vroom, like it's a truck, like a kid says, like a vroom vroom. But no, he means literally it's a broom.
Yeah, his theory is that, what, aliens are in the comet dust?
God, Stephen King. All right, so the theory is aliens are, they want to take over Earth,
mm-hmm.
but they notice that Earth is infested by this species already, humans.
That's us.
And so what they do is they use our machines, because we surround ourselves with them, as a broom to sweep us out.
Yeah.
It's
like sweep the
for
planet
the aliens,
clean
it's
so
the
come.
Easiest way to get rid of humans, because we're so surrounded by machines.
Yeah, when he started talking about that, I was like, oh, here's
this
Stephen King.
This is the Stephen King part.
This is the Stephen King part of the story.
And this is when I can see, I totally get this working as a short story.
Yeah, even though I don't remember that part in the short story.
We have that one, don't we?
Yeah, we have pretty much all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know if that the alien broom sweeping thing is in the story. And I thought it was just Emilio Estevez just blowing smoke out his ass, and that it wasn't really going to come to anything. We'll see later that I was wrong, but
in maybe the biggest laugh we had this whole movie.
Yeah, they eventually fight back and blow up that machine gun truck with a grenade,
because Emilio tells the machine gun, it's an insane
people
sentence
business.
That it, well, yeah, they're doing people business.
You wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
Because I guess, yeah. But then, so he's talking to the truck like it can understand him. But then in the same volume, he tells the guys with, when I say run, run.
Yeah, okay, when I tell you to, yeah.
It's like the Jeep should probably know something's up.
Yeah.
But it gets blown up. It's kind of cool. And then they jump into the gas station, and there's just a butt shot.
There's, yeah, it's a shot of Emilio and, is it Frankie
Faison? No,
I
it's just
who
another
the,
dude.
It's another dude. It's
I
a
think.
Shot of it's a shot of Emilio and another dude's butt, because they jumped into the gas station through the window
or the door,
or
whatever.
The door, and they land kind of like on their knees with their heads on the ground, like they're kind of like duck and cover with their butts in
the air. And Brett's like, I've never seen a hero ass up like that. But then you see in the blocking that she's not even, that's not her point of view.
Yeah.
She's not behind them and seeing their butts. She's like in front of their heads. So
the
Stephen
King broke the 180 degree rule to get a shot of butts.
There was just a shot of butts from no one's perspective. And then she made a joke that wouldn't make sense from her perspective. What the fuck, Stephen King?
I don't know.
You just want these butts in there because you thought it was funny.
Yeah, it's definitely, that has to be a thing where he thought of that joke and thought, okay, how do I write around that? How do I get that shot?
Yeah, and then he fucking made fucking one-eyed DP shoot that shot, you know?
Oh my God, do you think that was after he lost an eye?
I don't know, but he definitely, like, came up to Armando Nannuzzi and was like, hey, we gotta get this shot of these two guys' asses.
Oh, man. I just had such an awful thought. Do you think he lost his dominant eye?
It was his right eye.
I mean, chances are.
I don't know if...
Fuck.
Yeah.
Anyway, a bulldozer crushes the car.
Yep. This is when they... Is this when they're just getting the fuck out of there?
Yeah, I think this is when they all crawl through the sewer.
Mm-hmm. And so the trucks get all pissed.
The trucks start throwing a tantrum.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Because the bigger ones like drive straight through the building. But one of them, my personal favorite, is the dump truck that lifts its like dump bed up and then just runs into like the overhead roof over the pumps and just fucking knocks them down.
Maximum Overdrive is great if you want to watch a gas station get destroyed at like a medium speed.
Yeah.
Just get destroyed moderately fast.
Yeah, and just vehicles blowing up and destroying this building. An oxygen tank explodes at some point. Mm-hmm. And then there's just a bunch of other explosions that are obviously charges that the filmmakers put in.
It's like the fireworks at Disneyland.
Yeah, it's like, oh,
synced
okay.
To AC/DC. Yeah. It really is just synced up to the score.
So now they're on foot. They're trying to get away. They're armed with all these rifles, which I was like, what's that going to do against a truck? But they fucking blow up a ice cream truck with it. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm the idiot here. They also run into, what is it? The Burger Lean?
There's like that's right. The burger. It's Burger Lean.
Burger Lean, which like...
Sounds weird.
That's fucking weird. But it's the drive-through intercom. And even that's against them. It's like, humans here. Humans here. I don't know whose voice
but
is doing
what if
that.
You were... Oh, no, because the cars aren't part of this weird alien... If you're just like, I am a car.
That intercom gets fucking wrecked by Deke, who steps up to it. Yeah. With his gun, it looks like a little SMG, and you called the line. He was like, this one's for my dad.
This one's for my dad. And he shoots the drive-thru thing and then goes, I don't want this anymore.
Yeah, that's enough machine killing for me.
Yeah.
And he puts down his gun. They get to the marina because the big plan is to go to this island that doesn't have any motor vehicles allowed
on it.
Which
Mackinac Island, kind of. Yeah. Which, if you're not from Michigan... is an island that's in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
It's between the two peninsulas,
it's between the two. It's been years since I've been there, but they don't allow cars, so you can only ride bikes, and it's all very turn of the century, kind of.
Yeah.
But so you'd be safe there.
So these, you know, places like this do exist. That's cool. Good plan. Good plan, Emilio.
Yeah.
They get to the marina. They look like they're about to be home free. And then some random fucking character, because they still have all these, like, red shirts.
Just random dudes from the gas station.
And they make it. The last shot has them all, like, on a boat, and there's, like, a lot of characters who you don't know who the fuck they are.
A lot of them survive.
Which is fine. Yeah. Most movies are like, oh, we're going to kill off everyone until it's just the named people. But I kind of like how this is like, some of the other people would make it, too. Except for this dude, Brad. He does not make it because of his avarice. Because he sees Marla Maples hanging out this car.
Making her second cameo?
Yeah, in a very unlikely position for a corpse. Mm-hmm. Putting her giant, gigantic ring with a huge diamond right on display.
Yeah, she's kind of hanging out the window, her arms sticking out. So then Brad sneaks over like a fucking cartoon.
Yeah, it's like, oh, who's Brad? Is he always been greedy? Why does he want a ring when they're... What?
Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah.
But he gets it, and then that delays them long enough for friggin' Happy Toys truck.
Yeah, Green Goblin.
Green Goblin to show up, who I guess has been the ringleader. It's good that they had a truck with this...
Custom, so you know it stands out.
Yeah, it's like it personifies the trucks.
It's like Transformers in that way.
Well, this movie is Transformers without the transforming.
Yeah,
it's just trucks.
If they just stay
wrecking shit. If the Transformers never turned into kick-ass robots, they just stayed the trucks that were their secret identity. That's what Maximum Overdrive is.
Yeah.
The Happy Toys truck fucking wrecks Brad. And then I thought there would be more of like an ending, but it's just Emilio being like, he's adios, motherfucker. That's his big John McClane line. And then he shoots his bazooka and
admittedly looks pretty fucking cool.
When they blow up the truck?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because the bazooka goes right into its mouth.
Yeah.
And so the goblin face is all lit up there's fire in its mouth and its eyes are all lit. It's cool looking.
It's real cool. It's just weird that most movies would have the first attempt fail, you know, and
yeah.
have some suspense. But no, Emilio just turns around, shoots this rocket into the
truck. Yeah, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. And they get on the boat.
And then they get on the boat and that's it. Except for the
epilogue. I hope you wrote this down.
Text. I didn't write down word for word, but we are informed by text on the screen as they sail away to safety.
Is AC/DC playing in the background, I think?
I don't know for sure. I would bet a limb on it. Because
I think it might be the beginning. You know what? I think it is the beginning of Shook Me All Night Long.
Because like, when is AC/DC not playing in this movie?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? No, you got to do, you do have to play. I don't know if AC/DC had anything to do with the sound effects that happen sometimes when someone dies. We get like a very clear one early on in one of the earliest deaths, maybe when Duncan gets hit. But there's just this crazy sound effects that's like, it is shocking that that had to have been the coke to make that into a movie.
Yeah.
Because it's loud and annoying and no one wants to hear it. And yet it crops up a bunch in this movie.
Yeah.
Other than that, though, AC/DC 24/7. And while those guitars are playing, we find out that 2 days after... 2 days after a UFO was discovered.
I'm gonna put the beginning of Shook Me All Night Long under you reading this so you get the effect.
2 days after a UFO was discovered and shot down by a Russian quote-unquote weather
quote-unquote satellite.
Yeah, satellite that shot it down. And then 6 days later, Earth left the comet and the survivors are still surviving.
She was a fast machine. That's the end of Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah,
fuck.
So the aliens were real.
Yes, they were. Emilio nailed it.
I just love how I was like, yeah, 2 days after a UFO was shot down. Okay, I want to see that movie.
Yeah, like, right? I want, like, no, that I want that to be my third act.
Yeah.
Like the Russians.
Yeah.
You know, they team up with us.
You know, if this movie was as ambitious as Dreamcatcher, we'd get it.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Trucks would only be in the first 40 minutes of that 3-hour movie.
It could finally be, it could be America and Russia coming together and Russia admitting, hey, that weather satellite, it actually has a ton of nukes on it.
Yeah.
Don't worry. We're going to use them all to get rid of the aliens and then we're going to get rid of all of our nuclear weapons and then there's world peace.
There you go, Chelsea.
I'm going to remake
this
movie.
That's a fun little fanfic from Chelsea Rebecca.
This is actually a movie I would love to see remade.
Yeah,
I think
it'd
be
cool.
Really fun.
If they zoomed out a little bit, that's the thing, is it could work with it narrow in scope like this, focusing on a small group of survivors. It could work and just be better because they could make it better. Sorry, Stephen King. Or they could like just really blow it out.
Yeah, that's what I was imagining.
Like the whole global fight for survival throughout this week.
Yeah. I'm imagining, so okay, if I remade this movie,
okay,
super camp, bigger in scale, we get the idea that the whole world's affected by it. Just tons of just big set pieces of trucks just being launched off ramps and throwing themselves at each other.
Not why at each other? Why at each other, Chelsea?
Because maybe
somehow... Oh, you're going to work backwards
here. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to J.K. Rowling this. Because humans are able to control some trucks if they built them themselves by hand. I don't know. Like, you know,
sure, yeah.
if it's someone's custom rig, you know, and they have a bond,
mm-hmm.
they have a name for their truck.
Oh, okay.
So there's a special bond there, and that's they can use that truck to fight the other trucks. But then I'm imagining maybe even still setting it in the 80s, but then using that kind of 50s nostalgia we had in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Because that for me makes sense with the idea of like trucks and highway culture.
Yeah.
That's so mid-century to me. And just making it really grimy and gross and kind of Kenneth Anger like colors, greens and reds and blues, and just like super camp and really stylized. I just want to make this movie now.
Yeah.
This is, I just think that it's a fun idea if you really lean into how stupid it is.
And this movie does.
It does, to be fair.
Yeah. And you know what? Honestly, I thought it would be worse.
I thought it would be worse in a different way. Like I said, I was imagining more stunts. and just bigger set pieces.
I think the tone is okay.
Sure.
Because it's kind of campy. It's kind of fun. And then it still has like the like, oh, but we could get killed by this.
Yeah.
The acting's real bad.
Yeah, it's not great.
The dialogue's atrocious.
Yeah, to be fair to the actors, I'm sure having Stephen King, his first time directing, trying to direct you in a movie about trucks trying to attack you, that's hard.
That's gotta be rough.
Yeah.
The scenes of destruction were great.
Yeah.
All the explosions and the things getting wrecked, the bridge scene.
Yeah.
Lots of fun there.
Yeah. I wonder if I just in my head was just imagining Mad Max.
Before
I watched this.
That's what kind of sounds like.
Yeah.
From your description, I'm picturing a Mad Max kind of thing.
Honestly, though, it should happen. Mad Max was fucking great.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah.
I had a great time watching it.
Yeah, I did too.
It runs a little bit over 90 minutes, so not too long.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine.
It does not feel like 90 minutes.
What?
It feels longer than 90 minutes.
Well, there's a bit of slowness in the middle there.
Yeah.
But I hope you enjoyed this. And if you watched this movie, I hope we were able to give you a good supplementary material for it.
Yeah. Again, it's on HBO Go.
Yeah. So
I don't understand why HBO Go is hosting.
Yeah, that one blows my mind.
Maximum Overdrive.
If you've got 90 minutes to kill, you could find worse ways.
It's fun.
Yeah. Feel free to email us at deedmeat. Feel free to email us at deadmeatpod@gmail.com if you have any feedback or ideas for us. We're always open to hearing what you have to say about us. And also be sure to subscribe to Dead Meat on YouTube if you haven't already. Make sure you rate and review this podcast, Dead Meat Podcast, on whatever podcasting app you're using, especially if it's iTunes. Maybe even if you don't use iTunes, find a way to hop on that iTunes and rate and review us. Is that illegal for me to say? Is that okay?
I don't think so.
Yeah, fucking do it. You can follow Dead Meat on all the social media. Dead Meat James is at Twitter and Instagram at Dead Meat James. Chelsea, where can these people find you?
You can find me at Carebeck. That's CareBecc. At Twitter, Instagram. If you want to look at my cosplay stuff, I'm Chelsea Rebecca Cosplay on Facebook. I also post a lot of that stuff on Instagram.
Yeah. And if that's not enough, you can find my personal stuff at James A. Janisse, all one word, it's my name, on Twitter and Instagram. And otherwise, just can't wait for another one of these episodes. I love doing these, and I hope you enjoyed listening. Thank you for listening. This has been the Dead Meat Podcast.